Well, good morning, everyone. And thank you for inviting me to come and be with you again this morning. Do you see, Pastor, why we believe in the priesthood of all believers? We can take these items and everybody gets a chance to jump in and share. I know I was here in the summertime, and we were working through focusing on the person of the Holy Spirit. And I was overwhelmed as I looked at evidences of what happens in the church when the Holy Spirit is at work. And I saw that here in this church, and it was overwhelming. Sense of awe and generosity and worship and so on, fellowship. And so what a joy it is to be back with you again this morning. You see, if you have one of these outlines, I hope everyone has one. The title at the top is How to Pray Authentically. And when I see that word, authentic, I think of our pastor. So there's lots of things that we love and admire about you, but I appreciate your authenticity and just being who God wants you to be. Three college freshmen and three college seniors were making their way home from college for spring break. So they were making their way into the train station. And the college freshmen each had a ticket in their hand for the train. But the seniors only had one ticket amongst the three of them. So the freshmen said, you know, how come you guys only have one ticket? They said, come on, fellas, watch and learn. So they get on the train. And as the train was pulling out of the station, the conductor was making his way up checking tickets. And the three seniors all went and crammed into the bathroom, closed the door. And the conductor got these tickets and got up to the bathroom door, and he knocked on the door. The door opened about that much, and a ticket came out. And the door promptly closed. And he made his way down the rest of the train, and the seniors came out. So the freshmen were very, very impressed. So when they were coming back home and on their way back to school again, the freshmen told the seniors that they were going to try it. So they only had one ticket. But they looked over, and the seniors, they didn't have any tickets. So the freshmen said, what are you guys doing? And they said, come on, fellas, watch and learn. So they get on the train and rolls out of the station, and here comes the conductor again up the car checking for tickets. Seniors all jump, cram into the one bathroom. Right behind them, the three freshmen all go to the next bathroom and jump in and close the door. As the conductor's making his way up the car for the tickets, one of the seniors jumps out of the bathroom and goes over to the other bathroom and knocks on the door and says, ticket, please. Lots of different educations that we get when we go to college, isn't it? It's not just in the classroom. Apparently they hadn't had ethics class yet. That must have been the next semester. Last time I was here, we talked about prayer. And I can't stop talking about prayer and practicing prayer. And I have appreciated praying with you again this morning. And we did talk about the Holy Spirit last summer. And isn't it amazing how when we pray, somehow the activity and the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit is released? Our relationship with God is the most important thing that we can ever have in this world. And for a human being in their spirit to be able to connect with the Spirit of God, there is nothing like it. It's the greatest thing that we can ever experience, and we do that through prayer. And I was talking with my son here recently. He had his last exam from university on Thursday, and he's graduated, and now he's making his way into the workplace. And he's been dipping his toe there. He's got a job, and he's all fired up. And he tells me, in business, it's not enough to have a goal as to what you're trying to accomplish. It's not even enough to have a plan as to how you would accomplish that goal. But the real rub comes down in the execution of that plan. Sometimes it gets derailed in those nuances. And I think Jesus knew that. Isn't it true sometimes when we pray it's easy for us to get derailed? And I want us to look at this passage of Scripture today from the Sermon on the Mount. From Jesus Himself. No one else has ever prayed better than Jesus. No one else ever believed in the power of prayer more than Jesus did. And in this passage that we're looking at, one day the disciples stumbled on Jesus when he was praying privately, and they were moved by how earnest and intense his prayer was. When he finished, one of the disciples kind of timidly asked Jesus, "Would you teach us how to pray the way that, you know, we have seen you pray?" And Jesus gives them here some specific advice and instruction as to how to pray authentically. And that's what I would like to do for a few minutes this morning, as clearly as I can do from Jesus the expert, as to what he said to his followers about how to pray. This text is there under these three different points at the top of the outline. I'd like to just read it. Jesus said, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners and to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling on like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask." When you skip that, the next one, we'll from Psalm, we'll get back to that. Let's finish this passage from the Sermon on the Mount. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So let's look at this advice that Jesus is giving to the disciples a little closer. You see, up at the top, that first pray is to pray secretly. If you have a pen, you might want to write that in. Jesus says, don't pray like the people out on the street corners and in public places. And perhaps we can embellish that a little bit by saying, you know, people that like to pray at social gatherings and at mealtimes so that they can be heard by other people and be perceived as being religious. Prayer is not a spectator sport or something that we engage in just to give off the appearance that we are spiritual people. Jesus said, forget that. When you pray, I want you to go and find an inner closet. Find an empty space, a workshop or a garage or some secret place where you can be apart from all the other people and simply be alone with God. Jesus' advice is pray in secret. And that's where your Father will hear you when you pray secretly. Why do you think Jesus said, pray in secret like this? What is he driving at? I think one is a fairly obvious consideration, and that is that it's practical. When you're alone in an inner room and you've shut the door, I don't know about you, but I'm easily distracted. A little noise here or a noise there, and it's not very long before I lose track, especially when it comes to prayer. And Jesus knew that, so he said, when you pray, find a place where you can be alone, where the clock is not ticking, and where you're not going to be distracted. I think maybe beyond that practical reason, there's maybe a more subtle thing that Jesus is getting at here. And Jesus, I think, is acknowledging that once you've identified a place like this, an inner room, there's a certain aura that surrounds it. Can be a laundry room or, like we say, garage. But when we begin to meet God in a certain place, there's a certain aura that we begin to associate with that place. We've just come through Easter, and we know Jesus, when he had to really pray before he was led to the cross, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. This was a special place for Jesus where he met God. How serious are you about learning to pray? Jesus says you need to find a secret place. I know some families that have some special places. They have a place that they go on vacation or whatever, and they go back because they have such a great time and they share experiences together. And it just becomes a special place, a special atmosphere. I have found a special place myself. I think I said last time we were talking about prayer when I was here last time, prayer has not always been a strong suit for me. And finding a special place like Jesus is talking about has been difficult over the years. But I would wake up in the night, and it would be very frustrating because you know you need to get your sleep, and when you wake up in the night, you're trying any which way you know how to try and get back to sleep again. And one night I just decided, why would I fight this? It's perfectly quiet. Why not use this as a place to talk to God? And so I ran with that. And I use my iPad, just the light on, everything else is completely black. And I begin to pray. And in that quietness, I have an opportunity to commune with God. And he has faithfully communed with me. And you find answers to prayer. And you find encouragement, and most importantly, his presence. Jesus says, why don't you find a place like that, a secret place where you can pray? Then Jesus gives another bit of advice, and he says, pray sincerely. In verse 7, don't bother using meaningless repetition and meaningless phrases. Phrases that sound spiritual but don't necessarily mean that you're being spiritual. Certain types of jargon and words and phrases that sound pious, and after a while find ourselves stringing together these phrases and we call it prayer. Jesus says here, I just want you to be more sincere than that. Just talk to the Father authentically and personally and reverently and earnestly. Don't use out all those cliches and worn out phrases. Sometimes we hear believers and we pray, Dear Lord, would you please be with me or be with so-and-so as we go on this trip or we're doing this certain thing? Matthew 28:20 says, I am with you always. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And yet, sometimes we pray like that. Would you please be with me or be with so-and-so as we do that? And I think sometimes we hear somebody say that or pray that and it sounds spiritual. But instead, we need to pray and be aware that His presence is with us all the time. And we can be confident of His presence. And we don't have to pray and ask, Lord, would you please be with so-and-so? We're talking about being careful with these cliches and certain types of prayer language that we just kind of rotely go to without really thinking about it. If we want to have some fun with this morning, how about when we sit down to a meal that's sitting on the plate and the grease is glistening and the fat is flowing and we're getting ready to wash it down with a sugary drink? Yes. And then what do we pray? Dear Lord, would you bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies? It's kind of like the fifth grader that after he took the geography test, he prays and says, Dear God, would you please make Duncan the capital of British Columbia? God doesn't work like that. And he's saying here, I want you to pray sincerely. I remember when I was younger, we had a general superintendent come to our home in Toronto. When he came, I know my brother and I, we were getting ready for him to come in and, you know, really lay it on. The theology and the language, it was going to be really something. And to our amazement, his name is H.V. Lewis, by the way, former general superintendent. He's gone now. But he came into our home and took interest in us when it came time to pray. Instead of turning on the tap like we expected and the fire hose was ready to go, I don't remember exactly, but the sentiment of it still I carry with me. He said, what a privilege, Lord, for us, for me to be with this family and these boys, having this meal, serving you. Please help us to have a great time, and thank you for loving us, something like that. And he was just so sincere. And it struck me. Psalm 62, verse 8 says, when you pray, pour out your heart to the Lord. Talk to Him. Say, Lord, I feel this way today. I've been thinking about this recently. I'm worried about that. I'm pressed with this. I'm just so happy to talk to you. And Jesus says, pray to the Father sincerely. And then one more thing, Jesus says, pray specifically. With a purpose, pray carefully. Instead of just coming with a shopping list of the things that I need or I want, Jesus says God-honoring prayers are more than just cries for help and strength and miracles. Jesus said when you pray, authentic prayer should include different elements. He says some worship, our Father who's in heaven, some submission. It's not going to be my will, but I want it to be your will today. He says some requests, certainly. Give us this day our daily bread and lead us not into temptation. And some confession. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I think Jesus would be absolutely shocked how we recite the Lord's Prayer. And it's become known as a particular prayer that we recite for some special spiritual power or to gain attention. I don't think God gave this prayer through Christ as a paragraph to just be recited. I think it's obvious from this passage. He's talking about not using repetition and these kinds of phrases. But instead, Jesus is giving this to us as a pattern. These are the different elements that should be included in your prayer when you are praying secretly and sincerely. Be specific about these different areas. And then your prayers won't become self-centered shopping lists. But you'll be able to include other items like worship and thanksgiving and submission and requests. I have a couple of challenges for you this morning that I think could improve your prayer life. The first is to consider or try writing out your prayers. And then the second challenge is to use some kind of formula or outline to keep the prayers degenerating into these cliches and self-centered shopping lists that Jesus is warning us about here. And when we write out our prayers and follow a formula, I think it helps us better to concentrate, and our prayer times are much more effective and meaningful. And maybe you have never done this type of thing before, but I would encourage you to try that this morning if you haven't. And I told you that prayer has not always been a strong so for me, and it's out of frustration and trying to be more effective and have more meaningful prayer times that I've kind of been led to this practice myself. And I found that to really do what I want to do in prayer, this has been very, very helpful. Another benefit that comes from writing out prayers is that when it comes to checking for answers to prayer, you've already got them written out. So that at the end of the week or the end of the month, you can look back and say, look what God has done. And that does amazing things to our relationship with God. He's answering prayer, and I have a portfolio, and I can look back over the month of April and say, look, here's 13 things that God has done. I prayed about it here, and he's done it here. And that gives a great vote of confidence. On the back of the outline, I have just a simple outline or formula as to how to pray. A-C-T-S. I picked up from someone a long time ago, and it's been helpful. The A is for adoration or worship. Sometimes it's difficult for us to get over the hump in prayer, thinking that it's not attainable. But it is attainable if we're prepared to give it a try. And it starts with adoration. There's a great website called BibleGateway.com. Used to be in the church website. I don't know if it's made it through on the rebuild or not, but they have all types of different Bibles available in that website, and you can go in and do word searches, and it's a great thing. And I've included it here because sometimes we need a starter to get us praying, to focus on God and who He is. And I don't know of a better way than to just read a piece of Scripture and allow the Holy Spirit to start to pointing us to Jesus and to God, and let us know who He is, and we can begin to worship. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. Good morning, Lord. I feel free to praise You today. And in this moment, I'm ready and willing to say that I love You. You're a wonderful God. Your personality and Your character, they bring me to my knees. You've been so good to me. You're holy and You're just and You're gracious. You're fair and tender. I just want You to know that I'm thrilled to be in a relationship with You, and I worship You now. I never used to pray that way. Used to be more like, would You get me out of this jam, when I would get desperate. But it's a wonderful thing to just worship the Lord and tell Him that you love Him, instead of coming with your hand out. And then that next one down is C, and that's confession. And this can be difficult for us. We had the little teddy bear sitting here not that long ago, and we were talking about the heart, David's heart. His son Solomon writes this in Proverbs. You can see it there in the outline. Solomon, you remember, was the one God said to him, I'll give you whatever you want. And he prayed for a wise and a discerning heart, a listening heart. And God was so pleased with his request. He was the wisest man to ever live, and he was blessed beyond measure because God was so pleased. But in Proverbs, Solomon says, the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws it out. It's one thing for us to draw that out amongst us as people and Christians and believers. But it's another thing to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come along and draw out those things in the deeper recesses of our heart. Sometimes we don't want to go there. But when we begin to understand who God is in that first section under A, and His mercy and His forgiveness, and we begin to see His activity in our life, we allow the Holy Spirit to draw things out of our hearts at a deeper level, and we can confess because of who He is. Look at that verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 17. It says their sins, God says, I will remember no more. Now think about that. The theologians have a lot of trouble with this. How does an omniscient, all-knowing God forget? I don't know, but He does. He says it. And it says something about His character. Paul says in Romans, for the Christian who confesses their sin, there is absolutely no condemnation. Is that not amazing? That's the kind of God that we have. And when we come honestly and sincerely and confess our sins, He forgives us. And He also gives us the power to not sin again. And He also opens up a new avenue of insight as to how we can live a more fruitful and fulfilling lifestyle. What a God that we serve. But I've found, unless I go through specifically like this and name whatever the sin that happens to be present in my life and acknowledge that and pray and ask for forgiveness, I don't give God a chance to root that out of my life. So there's a little starter there. If you're praying and you want to know what to do, just pray, Holy Spirit, would You enlighten me? Is there anything in my life that I need to know about? Let's start with yesterday. And what did I do or say that I maybe need to stop and think about for a moment? You'd be amazed how faithful the Holy Spirit is when we come with that attitude to help us to see things in our own lives and convict us of sin if we're willing and open to it. Under thanksgiving, this is an easy one. And if you've asked God for something, you can simply go and review it and see if He's done something or not, and you've got something to be thankful for. You remember the story in the New Testament when Jesus healed the 10 lepers. Do you remember there was just one leper that came back to thank Jesus for what He had done? I don't want to be like the rest of those other 9. I want to be a thankful person for all that God has done for me. And when you have an opportunity like this in the outline, you can just go through and start naming those things that you have to be thankful for. Then the last under S is submission and supplication or requests. And submission, where we simply pause and say, You are God and I am not God. You know what's best. I don't know what's best. And I'm going to submit. Today I want to do what You want, not what I want. It's not about my agenda. It's about Your agenda. And we take time to do that. And then we come and we ask God for what we need. James chapter 4, 2 says, You have not because you ask not. I used to be very vague about what I needed in my life. Lord, would You help me? Would You cover me? Would You help me out of these troubles and that type of thing? But I found that I need to be specific and write those things down. And when I take time to do that, it is amazing how ready God is to do exactly what James says. You don't have it because you don't ask for it. 1 Peter says, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. And when you're telling God your problems, you're not just telling Him about the problems, you're giving God your problems. Big difference. The concerns. We all have these pressing concerns that we have resting on our shoulders. And we learn how to pray. And we write out those prayers. And we earnestly say, God, would you help me with these concerns of my life? I'm going to name them and I'm going to ask you to help. And I'm just raising my hands and I'm leaving this place freed up, knowing that those cares don't rest on my shoulders, but you've said I can cast them on to your shoulders. And what a difference that makes when we go and we face the challenges. In the next day. Let me close this message this morning by reminding us that God's power is available and released through prayer. And through Jesus, He's given us this instruction. Pray in a secret place. And pray sincerely and be specific. Using these elements of worship and thanksgiving and confession and request. And when you pray in faith and trusting Him, then the miracle can happen. Isn't it amazing? We can come and talk about it, and we can preach about prayer, and we can nudge somebody on the way out and say, wasn't that information interesting? But sooner or later, we have to pray and really mean business about it. And this adventure, this relationship that we have with God is a faith adventure. And we trust Him, knowing that it is impossible to please God without faith. But when we do, and we practice what Jesus is encouraging us to pray with, He's able to do miraculous things. Let's bow our heads for prayer.